This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.com.
You can say hello to everybody in the room. That'd be great. Just kind of wave, give the COVID wave and say hello to people inside and welcome everybody online. If you have the app, if you'll open that up, if you have your Bibles today, we're in Matthew chapter 20. And for those online, we did a survey last week and for the people in the room too. And we want to just repeat it today. So here's the question we're asking you if you're online. How many people are experiencing the worship service on one device? And the reason we're asking that is we're trying to figure out, since COVID came, really what's happening outside. You see us, we don't see what's going on there. And so what we're asking, if you're in a room and you're watching with other people, just how many people per device? If you're watching and you're sitting next to somebody and they have their own device, just one per. We found out last week that for first service, we have about 1.3, I don't know how that works, but 1.3 people watching online, and there's more people online by far than are in the room. And then second service, it's kind of reversed. In second service, we have 1.7 people per device watching that we did last week, and we have more people in the room than we did watching online. So it's just an interesting thing that's happening with COVID. We're just doing whatever we can to reach people, and if it involves being online or in the room, we'll do whatever it takes to help people find Christ. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of that, and we'll let you know kind of how these numbers fell. Today is week 7 in our Rooted series. We've been going through this now for 6 weeks. We go 10, and we've been looking at different topics through this. This is the only topic that we're going to do twice, and it's based around this one question, and here's the question. How can I make the most of my life? And it's a great question to ask ourselves no matter what part in life we are, what age we are, what's gone before us, what's coming in front of us. It's really about this question of how can I live the most of my life at this very moment? How can I get the most out of life? How can I serve Christ the most? How can I discover why I'm here? What's my purpose? All of those things. And as we ask this question, as we ask ourselves this question, we're going to look at defining decisions in our life. And I want you to think about some of the defining decisions that you've made in your life and think about how that has affected your life and sent you on a journey from there. I mean, things like this. Some of us had to decide what college we were going to attend. And when we decided that, then we decided who were going to be our friends, how we're going to get involved, what's going to be our major, what we're going to do afterwards. I mean, it set a course, right? It was a defining decision. For other people, it's your job, right? Your first job. And in many ways, that defines who you are, who you were at the time. And like, you met people there, they became your friends, you learned skills, abilities, you made some money, you learned how to do things in life. So it kind of set a course for your life. It's a defining decision. For some of you guys, it was simply, where am I going to live? Am I going to stay in my hometown? Am I going to move to another place? What kind of place am I going to go? Am I going to rent or am I going to buy? And as you know, that sets a course for your life, right? If you buy, that sets the course for a while. And then when you decide to sell that house, that is a defining decision. And what are you going to do next? And so these decisions send our lives in different ways. For some of us, it's, and we're going to have children in our marriage. We're going to decide to do that. Other people, are we going to adopt? And what's that going to look like? And how are we going to come up with the money? It's a defining decision. For some people, it's fostering. How can we foster a child? How can we help someone in our community find a loving home? And that's a defining decision, not only for you, it's a defining decision for them. How about a big one, like asking someone to marry you? And for those that are married, you know what that was like. And that's a defining decision that sends you off in a certain direction. And the person being asked, like, do I say yes or no? I mean, this is going to decide a big part of my life. And what am I going to do? And you look at all those defining decisions, because some are very small, right? And some decisions are huge. And we look at that. How do we make those decisions? How do we know? About 50 BC, about 50 years before Jesus, Julius Caesar was assigned to conquer what we know as Europe. He was given an army, and he went up there, and he made it as far as Great Britain. And he established the Roman Empire throughout what we know as Western Europe. And then he brought his army back down to the border between Gaul, which we know as France today, and Italy, which was known as Rome. And there's a river called the Rubicon River there. And by law, he was not allowed to bring an army into Italy. He was not allowed to bring an army because it looked like treason, like he was going to try to take over. And then that day, Julius Caesar made a decision. It was a defining decision for his life. And as he crossed the Rubicon, he said this, "The die has been cast." Maybe you've heard that phrase before. Like, I've made a decision. There's no going back. I'm going to take this course of action. It's going to change my life, and it's going to change everyone around me life. And for the next 3 years, Julius Caesar fought a civil war until he won, and he became the first, what we know as Caesar, the first emperor of Rome. We also know that he was assassinated. And then out of that assassination, his stepson became what we know as Augustus, the emperor who was around when Jesus was born. And those defining decisions set an empire in place. And he made this decision based on what he saw as authority, based on what he wanted for his life. He made this decision that affected everyone else's life because he wanted to be in charge. He had vision, he had purpose, but it was all about him. And we're going to look at that today, and what does that mean for us? Because it really is this defining decisions that we decide who we're going to be in life and how we're going to make our life the most of our life. If you have your Bibles, turn in Matthew 20, verse 28, and we're going to see Jesus' followers, and they're going to come to a place of decision. And Jesus is going to draw a line in the sand for them. He's going to explain to them what their life is going to be like from now on. And they're going to have to make a choice at this time. What are we going to do? We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to go our own route. So we're going to pick it up. They're on a road. Verse 20, chapter 20 of Matthew says this. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him, Jesus, with her sons, and kneeling before him, they recognized Jesus as someone with authority. And she asked him for something. I love the way Matthew puts it. It's like, I'm not going to tell you what it is. She just asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? She said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. And Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And they said to him, we are able. He said to them, you will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and sit at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom has been prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, because they were listening in, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him. So he gathered them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Before we kind of look at this more further, let's stop and pray. Father God, as we listen to your word and we examine it and we pour through it, we ask you to change our hearts. It's something we cannot do. We cannot be transformed on our own. We cannot make changes on our own. We have a sinful nature that pulls us in the wrong way, but you teach us something better. You show us something more, and your Holy Spirit makes this happen in our lives. So, Father, just speak to our hearts now. Use this time for your glory and for your name's sake, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, it's a pretty straightforward story, right? I mean, you got the gist of it. Jesus is walking down the road, and James and John brought their mother with them, and she's hanging out with them, and she comes to a point where she has a defining decision for her life. She has poured her life into her sons, and she wants the best for them. She recognizes that Jesus is someone of power and authority. She gets her boys with her. They kneel down in the road before Jesus, and she asks a request. I recognize that you have power. I recognize that you have leaders. What she's saying, leadership, you have dominion, you have authority, and I want my two boys to sit on your right and left. I want them to rule with you. When you establish your kingdom, I want my boys there too. And the boys just kind of sat there and listened to mom. And then Jesus makes a statement. He says, look, are you willing to drink the cup? And I go, what does that mean? He said, are you willing to suffer? I'm going to suffer. That's what he means by saying drink of the cup. I'm going to go and I'm going to suffer. Are you willing to do that? And they don't really know because they don't know what he's fully talking about. And they said, sure. And he tells them, yes, you will suffer. You will drink the cup. They don't know the future, but Jesus did. And then the 10 get upset at this because they're listening and go, what about us, right? Can you imagine? There's 12 of us hanging out. Two of them want to be in charge with Jesus. What does it mean for the rest of us? Here's these ambitious guys, and what are we going to do? We're just going to let them do this? So they're indignant. They're upset. And then Jesus pulls them all together. He says, look, guys, I have something different for you. I have something different for you. And it's a defining decision that you're going to have to make about this. It's really going to change the course of your lives because it's going to change the way you look at yourself. It's going to change the way you look at other people. Here's the choice. If you want to be great, you got to serve. If you want to be first, you have to be a slave. You willing to do that? We're going to start walking. Are you coming with me? And we know from the story, they do decide to follow, but it's a defining moment for them, and it's a defining moment for us too, because those words are meant for us as well. And we have to choose. Are we going to follow Jesus and everything he has for us? Or are we going to chart our own road? Are we going to go after our own stuff? Do we want to be in charge of our own life? And so today I want to look at three decisions that really fit with this. They're there on your outline. Three defining decisions that we make with our life based on what Jesus told them. We're going to unpack this a little bit. And hopefully as we leave today, we'll be able to look at ourselves a little bit different, because this is part of our identity in Christ. Really how we look at ourselves and look at other people. On your outline, the first decision that we have to make is this. Decide to identify as a servant. Decide to identify as a servant. Now, that's different from serving. Serving is doing a task. I can do this thing. I can accomplish what someone needs me to do. I can hand out food. I can open the door for someone. Those are great things. It's being, acting like a servant. It's doing the things of a servant. But what Jesus is telling them is you've got to identify as a servant. It's going to be who you are. Are you willing to go that route? In verse 28, if you still have your Bibles, you can take a look at that. Jesus is talking to him. He says, look, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And you go, well, who's this Son of Man and what is Jesus talking about? Well, the Son of Man is a title that Jesus took on himself. It's a title that we see in the Old Testament. We see it in Daniel. We see it in Ezekiel. But in Daniel 7 is where it really comes out, where Daniel has this vision. And in the vision, the Ancient of Days, God Almighty is there. And one like a Son of Man comes to him, and he looks like a human being. And it said to that person, dominion and power is given. He's going to be a ruler, but he's going to be a human being. What I think is great about Jesus is Jesus took on this statement, I am the Son of Man. I'm one of you. I'm identifying with you. I'm going to be born just like you're born. I'm going to have the same physical limitations that you have. I'm going to be one of you. And as I come, I'm going to serve as I'm asking you to serve. That takes a pretty big person to do that, doesn't it? Do you think about the humility of Jesus ever? I mean, the pure humility of saying, I'm one of you. Even though he was there at creation, even though God spoke and things existed, as Jesus made this happen and Jesus holds all things together, he's standing on this dusty road and he's saying, I'm a Son of Man just like you are. I'm one of you too. I came not to be served. I don't want anybody to gather around me, and I don't want to have to you come to me. I want to come to you. See, when Julius Caesar set him up at Caesar, he set up his place in Rome, his authority in Rome. And if somebody had to answer to Caesar, they had to go to Rome to see him. If someone had a dispute, Caesar ruled. When Caesar wanted something, it happened. It was just the way it was set up. He was the emperor. And Jesus said, I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to go to the people that are hurting. I'm going to go to where they are. I'm going to come to you when you need something. That's who Jesus is, and it's who he wants us to be. If you go back and look at Matthew 20, verses 26 through 27, this is what it says. He's talking to them. He says, shall not be so among you. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're not going to be like the culture. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And who will be first among you must be your slave. That is a mindset. That is a lifestyle he's calling us to. In other words, when we walk into a room, what we do, we say we're here to serve. I'm a servant. What do servants do? They serve. When you go home, if you identify what Jesus is asking you to identify with, he's saying, walk into the house, simply say, I'm here to serve. How can I serve? When you go to work, I'm here to serve. I'm a servant. How can I serve the people that God has brought here in my life for me to interact with? When you're in your small group, I'm here to serve. I'm here to listen. I'm here to pray. I'm here to encourage. I'm here for the other people. I am here for other people always. That's what servants do. Again, if we look at ourselves as I'm going to serve, I need to accomplish these tasks, that's different than saying I identify with Jesus, I am a servant. In my life, I've been blessed to know some incredible servants. I mean, some people that poured their life into other people, and they identified as a servant. I've told you the story before. I became a Christ follower because there was a policeman who ran the children's church, and he shared the gospel on his off time, and he poured his life into us kids, and so I know Jesus because of him. When I was in high school, I had a volunteer youth leader who poured her life into each one of us, and we had a very small youth group, but I'm who I am today because of her. Because she took the time above and beyond to just get a bunch of goofy high schoolers and pour her life into us. When I went to college, I was in InterVarsity, and I had a leader there who poured his life into each one of us, and I am who I am today because he took the time to do that. He was a servant. I think about the couple I met in Guatemala, an amazing couple, and when we would go down there for missions trips, this one couple just really stood out among a bunch of servants. They were like servants of servants. She was a school teacher. She was in a county that made good money. She gave all it up to go to Guatemala and serve in very poor schools, using her own money to buy supplies, teaching them English. And then she met a man there who was also an American. He was an engineer. He had come down to serve. They got married. They lived on the side of a volcano. They had no TV. They had no air conditioning. They had no electricity. They had basically a hut. And he had a lot of money. As an engineer, he had invented something that was floating around on satellites going around our head. He pointed out one time, he said, it's up there somewhere. But he gave all that up. And as an engineer, this is what he gave his life to. He would go into the villages, and he would build Taj Mahal outhouses, okay? Taj Mahal outhouses. You could see them in behind these different houses because they were 6 feet off the ground. Because people didn't have bathrooms. And what he was doing is he was making compost toilets back when they didn't have compost toilets. And so it was 6 feet off the ground, and you would go up to this like kind of throne kind of thing. You could look around, you close a little door, you do your business or whatever. But they were all over the place, and they made a huge difference. He also invented like this fireplace with a chimney. And I thought, what a simple thing. Because in their villages, they would burn fires inside, and all the smoke would stay inside, and the children had infected eyes. You just knew when they came into the clinics, they would have just horrible eyes. You just knew what was going on. They didn't have a chimney. He very simply made these little stoves with chimneys, and the children's eyes were fine in those homes, and he gave his life for that. And I look at these kinds of people, and I go, wow, it's an amazing act of service, and it makes me want to up my game. And I, again, served with a ton of people. There was a couple I knew that they went through a really tough time in their marriage. They were ready to call it quits. They went to a conference where their marriage was brought together, and they gave their life to having Bible studies for marriages. They were about to fall apart, and they gave their life to that. They had full-time jobs, but this is what they did to make their life work and to give fulfillment and meaning to their life. Here at Bridges, I've served with some amazing people. People give out food who have set up and tear down as we had that in our life. As we come into this building, they're still serving. They're still going doing amazing things. They come early. They stay late. It's the role of servant we've been called to do. Galatians 6:10 says this, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Look at that. Do good to everyone. We go as a servant. How can I help? What can I do? And then it says, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Why? Because within this household of faith, we want people to be able to come in, no matter who they are, what's going on, and feel like they belong and they're accepted and they're served and they're encouraged. Will this be a place where you can experience the love of Christ, not just in the worship, but in the interactions that we have? We want this to be a place where you can get healed up, so you can go out and serve. You can be strengthened here as you're just around other people. We want this to be a place where people serve one another. And people will say, I see Jesus there. And that's huge. That's a huge thing. So we start within the household of faith, and then it spreads. Because everybody that follows Jesus is called to make the decision to become a servant, to identify as a servant, and to serve out of that. Second decision we're called to make, and the disciples were called to make this on the road, simply this: decide to serve with purpose, not an agenda. Decide to serve with purpose, not an agenda. For those in Rooted, you know this is a part of the Rooted study. It was something that really resonated with my small group, and as we talked about it last week, I thought, oh wow, I need to bring that up. Because it's so key to understanding what does it mean to be a servant. We serve with purpose, not an agenda. In Rooted, it says this, as we serve, it's important to examine our motives. So as you serve, you're looking at why am I serving? Are we serving with an agenda to change people to the way we think they should be? Are we giving to people because we want them to change how they look at us? Do we want them to change how they see life? Do we want them to change their lifestyle? Why do we serve? Do we have an agenda that we have for the people? Are we doing it to make ourselves feel better? Are we doing it because we feel superior? Are we doing it because we feel like we have to? Why do we do it? Or are we fulfilling our purpose out of love for a Heavenly Father? Whole different thing. You can do the same event, the same action. One, your heart's into it. The other one, your heart's not into it. One of them, it's about you. The other one, it's about Jesus. It's about the Father. It's about his love. And the only two people that know are you and God. The only two people who can understand what's in your heart are you and God. Nobody else can see it. Why do we do what we do? Do we do it out of purpose? God created us to serve. We do it out of an agenda. Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21 is a great verse written to Hebrews, right? Written to people who had the Hebrew background, the Jewish background, had Jewish faith, who had been converted to becoming Christians. Look at what the writer of this says to those people. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, he's the one who takes care of us, he watches out of us, he leads us, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A couple things to point out to us there. One is the word equip you. You see that? If we had it on front of us, I'd have you circle those two words. The word equip is a great word. It's a great biblical word. It means to repair. It means to, like, if there's a net that's been torn, it means to bring it back, make it useful, make it purposeful. What is God doing? He says, I created you to be a servant, and I'm going to equip you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to empower you to go serve. You don't have to worry if you can't do it or not. You're going to be able to do what I've asked you to do. I've asked you to do my will. Don't worry if you can't do it. Don't say, well, I can't do that. I'm not capable. God's going to equip you to do it. Called to be a teacher. Well, teach. Don't worry if God has called you to something that seems difficult. He's going to equip you. He's going to make it happen. Called to serve by handing food out. Don't worry about it. You're going to be able to do it because God is going to be there. He's going to equip you. He's going to empower you. It's going to be possible because he wants you to do his will because that brings him glory. That brings him glory. And when you do what God's asked you to do, when you're doing his will and you're serving people, people will look and go, wow, look what God's doing through that person. And he gets the glory. The other phrase or other word I want you to see, it says the God of peace. You see that at the very beginning, the God of peace? Again, he's writing to Hebrews. When we hear the word peace, what do we think about? Sitting inside a room where you can hear the rain outside. For those that aren't in our area, it's raining today. For those at home, you're probably in your bed, you're looking out at the rain. And isn't that peaceful? I love to listen to rain. I love to hear it when I'm not in the midst of it. I just love to hear the sound of rain. It's very peaceful, isn't it? And there's something good about peace, about being quiet and being still and your soul is still, but that's not what he's talking about here. Writing to Hebrews, when he uses the word peace, he's talking about the word shalom. It's a word we've talked about before. It's a word that does mean peace, but it means more than that. It means wholeness. I mean, you were created for a purpose, and when the shalom of God comes in your life, you're made whole. You have everything that you need, not only in your gifts, talents, and abilities, but inside. When you have the shalom of God, you are fulfilled. When you have the shalom of God, then your brokenness is repaired. When you have the shalom of God, things begin to work the way they're supposed to in your life. And God wants that shalom in the lives of people. He wants the shalom in everyone. And that's one of the reasons we serve, is so the shalom of God can be in their life. One of the things I was most excited about when we got this facility about a year ago, we've been in this place about a year, is it had a ministry center that we could use. because we had been feeding people and doing clothes closet and backpack program for a while because we want to see the shalom of God in our community. We want people's lives to be changed. We want them to come and say, look at what God's doing. I'm hungry and he's feeding us. We need clothes and he's providing. My children need food and here's someone providing for that. And I've been so excited when we have been doing that here. We're just seeing the shalom of God and people are going, wow, can we connect with you in some ways? And we're seeing God at work. For those that are in the room, when you get a chance on the way out, you'll see an obelisk out there on the side of the parking lot. It becomes part of the background if you're not careful. And what does it say on there? The peace of God in four different languages. The shalom of God. It's one of the reasons that we're doing the Multiply campaign as part of Rooted. And some of you guys are doing that. We're selling eggs. I think the eggs are starting to come in now. And people are using that to give to the food pantry, clothes closet of the ministry center, the Bridging the Gap Center. We have people that are selling chicken pies. We have people doing walks. We have people selling pozole, which is an authentic Mexican food. I mean, all kinds of projects. Someone offered to paint a room in my house. I'm hearing all these cool things as people are stepping up and going, how can I serve? How can I serve with purpose? How can I make sure people are experiencing the shalom of God? When we came in today, if you walked around the building, you see all these tables set up because Imprints is using our facility 5 days a week now, and they're serving children who can't get online. So we said, use our building, use our internet, and do with it as you need because we want these children to experience the shalom of God and get the education they need to become the people God wants them to be. And it's all about serving. God, it belongs to you. You use it. Do with it as you will. So the second decision is to decide to serve with purpose, not an agenda. The third and final decision, pretty important one, is this. Decide to serve Christ through serving others. That's really where it falls. It's not about serving other human beings so much as it's serving Jesus through serving other human beings. If we serve people, a lot of times we'll feel good about ourselves. Look what we did. And Jesus kind of turns that on the side, says, when you serve them, you're really serving me. And it takes away all the frustrations, takes away all the things that kind of get our hearts in the wrong spot. Because we'll look at somebody and they'll need something and go, why do you need something? Why am I having to do this for you? Can't you do it yourself? Why aren't you in a better spot? We'll ask all those questions. But with Jesus, when we realize we're serving him, we're giving back out of his giving to us. In Rooted, there's a weekly Bible verse, right? You're memorizing, you're looking at. This week is an interesting one. Matthew 25 is really the story that Jesus told near the end of his ministry. It's a parable, and he wants us to understand what's going to happen. He said at the end time, there's a king. And he's the king, but he's a servant king. And everyone is gathered up before him at the end of time, and he separates them out, and he puts some on his left and some on his right. He calls one group goats. He calls the other group sheep. And he says to them, especially to the goats, he says, look, guys, I was hungry. You kind of ignored me. I was thirsty. You didn't really serve. You didn't help me out. I didn't have any clothes and just kind of walked by me. I was in prison. You never came and saw me. You know, we don't remember that at all. And he says, well, when you didn't do it for them, you really didn't do it for me. And then he turns to those that are the sheep and he says, look, guys, you may not have known that, but every time I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. You really did it for me. And when you gave clothes to these people, you really did it for me. And verse 40, he says this to the group. He says, I don't remember that. I don't remember ever doing that, Jesus. I don't remember ever helping you. And it says this, the king will answer them. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You did it to me. Mother Teresa talked about when she would serve the dying and the poor on the streets of Calcutta. She would say, I saw Jesus in their face. I saw Jesus in them. It was really Jesus I was serving. Something miraculous would happen in her heart that she would see Jesus. And I think that makes all the difference. When we start serving people out of that motive, I'm here to serve Jesus. He's given me everything. It's the least I could do. Because he loved me first, I'm going to love him by serving. I want to close with a verse that we started with. I want to go back to Matthew 20, verse 28. It's kind of the gospel message just rolled up in another verse. And it's Jesus talking to his followers, and they're standing on the road, and they've got to make a choice about what they're going to do. We're going to follow Jesus, or we're going to go our own route. Are we going to try to get all the glory for us? Do we want to be in charge? Do we want to be the guys on Jesus' right and left? And here's the kind of background, the context, is Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to go die. He's heading toward there. He knows what's going to happen. And they don't fully understand, but in the midst of him going to die, they stop and go, hey, we want to be in charge. I mean, it kind of shows a real disparity between what's happening and what they were doing. And Jesus is kind of stopping them and says, let's think about this a little bit. And he says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And this part, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm going to go die now. I'm about to give my life for you. You're trapped. You don't even understand this, he says, but basically you're trapped by sin and death, and you don't get that, and you don't really see everything. But I want you to know at this moment, you'll get it later. I want you to understand I'm giving my life as a ransom for you. The God of the universe, the King of the universe, the one who can call all the shots, the one who can tell us to do whatever and we can be forced to do it. He says, I'm going to die for you. I'm giving my life for you. A price has to be paid. Somebody's got to do something. I'm the only one that can do it. The King of the universe went to the cross. That's the gospel message, right? We come to him as broken people. We come to him as mixed up people. We come to him with all our selfishness, all our self-centeredness, all the sin in our life. And he says, okay, I'll trade. You give me that, I'll give you my life. I'll take your sin away. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you right with my Father so you can have the shalom that he offers. I'm going to do that for you. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't do for us already. And that's the God that we served. And that's the Jesus we follow. And he gave his life as a ransom so that you and I could live. Isn't that a great, great message? That Jesus did that for us. He loves us that much. Today as we close, just think about that Jesus and all he's done for us. And ask yourself, and I'll ask myself, am I ready just to be a servant to him? To identify as a servant? To live my life as a servant. That wherever I show up, I'll simply say, Jesus, I'm here to serve you. What do you want me to do? Because you've already done everything for me. Let's pray together. Father, in the midst of this time and all that we're about in life, with everything running around, with all the things that pull us in different directions, with all the stuff in our heart that just says, I want it to be about me. I want to do my own thing. I want to be in charge. I want to make decisions. Father, just slow us down. Help us to see Jesus who gave up everything. He emptied himself and became a servant. And help us to have that mind that Jesus had, because you will lift us up. You will take care of us. You will empower us. You will strengthen us. You're going to be there for us. We can trust you. Great is your faithfulness. So Father, help us to serve not out of obligation, but out of love. Help us to bring the shalom of God to other people's lives. Help us to extend what we've been given. Help us to be a blessing to others. And Father God, we just thank you for Jesus who's already done all that for us, who gave his life as a ransom for many, including us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to thank everybody for being here in the room and online. For those in the room and online, if you're not getting our newsletter, we want to make sure that you understand. Just send us an email at info@bridgeschurch.net so I want to get the electronic newsletter so you can keep up with things. Let us know what's going on in your life. Let us know any prayer requests. You can contact us that way. And again, online, thank you for being here. We hope you guys have a great week, and take care.